Let's do this thing.
I like that candle.
Gotta set the mood for the YFTs.
Ugh.
It's once again that time of the year where anytime you take a shower and you use soap, there isn't enough lotion in the world to not make you feel like a lizard king. Where's all the moisture? Where'd it go? What happened?
Jeez Louise.
Like a snake over here. I'm just at the point in my life where there's like two muscles in my back that just always hurt. And there's nothing I can do about it to make that better. I stretch every day. All right. It's that muscle like right underneath my shoulder blade. And it must be because of how I sleep. I don't know. But like I'm at the point in my life where like that just doesn't go away. But I've also been at that point in my life for the past 15 years. Okay. So here's the thing. All you Gen Xers out there that love this show because you're cool, that the adults won't tell you. You're just going to have like two muscles in your back that are going to be like, fuck you and the ship you came in on forever. And that's just life. It'll never get better. Nothing you can do. Oh, did I spend tons of money on like a masseuse to work those out? Yeah. Did every time I go in to see said masseuse, they said, oh, you have a huge knot here. And I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. And then they worked on it for an hour and charged me $100. And guess what? Nothing happened because my body said, don't care. Rub it all you like. This is life now. Welcome to the danger zone.
I don't know why my body is in the movie Top Gun, but you know, whatever. Let's see if Brandeis ready.
Uh-huh.
Up. You know what's a great snack that I sleep on often? Apples.
Yeah.
Like apples are so good and refreshing, and like there's a lot of water content, I feel like, in apples. So you're like kind of hydrating. It's just a great snack.
I don't do apples. I don't know why.
I feel like you should give it a shot.
I feel like the skin always gets stuck in between my teeth and I got to deal with that. And I'm just not here for that. You know?
Well, you could technically cut the skin off. I mean, that's... I don't do that, but you could do that.
Apparently, there's like a lot of toxins in apple skin. I'm not sure if that's real or if that's something that I just saw on the internet and then I just assimilated that into my real life. But
huh, I mean, I could see it.
Let's do a let's do a goog.
Do a apple quick goog. Skin. My favorite apple is a Honeycrisp apple. What's yours?
Granny.
Really?
Is Granny the one that's kind of sour?
Yeah.
Granny Smith.
Hold on a second. What are we doing in there? Would you say? Freaking dogs. Can you hear them? They're like scratching at something.
Oh, really?
It's annoying.
All right. So here's what it said. Over 90% of apple samples tested positive for two or more pesticide residues.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Apple skins contain higher nutrient value than flesh. However, they also tested for greater concentration of toxic chemicals. Unfortunately, in some countries, conventionally grown apples are drenched in diphthalmamine after harvest. Dude, why you gotta dip that shit in diphthalmamine, guys?
That sucks. I mean, when I was a kid, I was such a picky eater. I refused to eat the apple skin, you know, this peel or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like, I always made my mom take it off. And then as I became an adult, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna suck it up and start eating the apple peel. And now you're telling me it's toxic.
I know. You know what I want? I want that. I've seen it on the internet a lot where like you stick the apple or whatever you want to peel onto some tong situation. And then there is like an arm that comes out and like, it spins the thing and then it diphthalmamines it, you know? And that's what I need.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. I need more fucking gadgets in my life.
Yeah.
That's what
I have the gadget where it like cuts the apple into slices for you. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
you push it down?
Oh yeah. It's money.
Yeah.
Game changer.
I guess, but.
Cause then you have these nice little slices.
It does. No effort. It does core it for you.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the other thing about apples. You get apples, you put them in the refrigerator, and then they last for like years, I feel like. And anything that doesn't die after like 2 weeks, can't trust it.
That's true.
You know? Like what's in there? What's in there, God?
Well, it's because they have the peel that protects it.
I guess. But okay, what happened to the avocado then? Avocado said, fuck that rule.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
And also, I mean... God did tell Adam and Eve not to eat the apple, you know?
It's true.
Dude, you got the Rhone? I feel like everyone's got the Rhone right now.
No, but everybody else has it.
Dude, knock on wood, I don't have it either.
I mean, I already had the Rhone, so.
You did?
Yeah.
You got taste?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had it forever ago.
Yeah, but you got taste?
Yeah.
Do you ever lose taste?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. And it's the worst part of it.
Yeah. Well, aside from the dying part.
Wait, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that part. But that's
what I wasn't dying, thankfully.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. The Rhone has taken away all the things that I love to do. And
wait, do you have it?
No, I'm just saying, like, just societally speaking, it has taken away everything from me, you know, and from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the dagger in the heart, the twist of the knife is the only thing you can do during this pandemic is be a fatty McButter pants and sit on your couch and eat and watch Netflix. And then they took the thing that makes eating enjoyable, which is the taste of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
What's Rome going to do next? Figure out a way to become a digital virus and take away our streaming services? No, thank you.
That would be terrible. I will say, when I had the Rhone, I was really sick. But by far the worst part is the no taste. Because if you can't taste anything, it's like you don't even want food, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would take like a bite of something and just be so repulsed that I couldn't taste it that I just didn't want to eat. And that was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I've talked to people about it and they're like, then you become like into just textures.
Yeah, but even that is weird. It's like the texture of things becomes more like apparent and like a bigger deal because you can't taste.
Yeah.
So it's very odd. I hated it.
We got a buddy, one of Sarah's like best friends who got it like right in the beginning.
Mm.
She still doesn't have taste. And
what?
Smell. Yeah. She's got nothing.
I don't think I could take that.
I know.
Because I didn't have taste for like, I'd say probably 3 weeks. And I was going insane.
I guess it would be a kind of a fun party trick, though. You could like eat an entire golf ball size of wasabi and probably like nothing would happen.
Probably. I mean, I was like, I think I've talked about before, like my friend Kirsten, she has this meal prep service, whatever. She cooks for me every week. And she like knows that I can't do spicy. Like I just cannot handle it. So for me, like the tiniest bit of spicy is like so spicy to me. And she made me something that week. I forget what it was that was so spicy. And she was like, I hope this is okay. Like I accidentally made it really spicy. And I was like, well, good luck for you. Like, you know, like good luck. You have good luck that like I can't taste this week. Cause I literally, my mouth should have been on fire and I couldn't taste it one bit. And I was drinking like beet juice, which I hate, and a bunch of other stuff, like celery juice, ew. And it was like, well, I'm down in it. Like, can't taste it.
I guess that's the positive of it. Well, I guess I'm going to eat healthy now because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, totally.
You're eating rice crackers. I mean, like, well, this could be a cookie. I don't know.
Could be. Could be a cookie.
Could be.
Oh my gosh.
I love a cookie.
Oh, I love cookies. Have you ever been? I don't know if they have them out there. To this place called Crumble?
No.
Oh my God. It is so good. When I first saw this place, I was like, how does a place like survive just serving cookies, right? Yeah. That's all they have. And they have like five flavors that are constantly rotating. And you're like, you stay in business just selling cookies? Fuck yeah, they do. They are the best damn cookies I've ever had in my whole life.
Are they crumbly though? Because I want the business to be called Chewy or like... soft baked. That's the kind.
Soft baked. It's not as catchy, but yeah, they're not crumbly. But like some of the cookies are served warm and some aren't. Like it just depends. And during the holidays, like they had a Christmas birthday crossover cookie, and it was the best thing I've ever had in my whole life.
Oh man, love a cookie.
It was so good.
You know, I
love a cookie.
I get it, Santa. I am on board with what you are throwing down. You know, I don't have milk anymore. You know what's funny is that, like, we used to just drink milk, this fucking just crush milk for as like a beverage.
My dad to this day, like, not that we all sit down for dinner often, but he'll have a glass of milk with dinner. It's disgusting.
It's insane. Who drinks just a glass of leche like that?
Ugh.
But I love cookies, but I only have half and half or like heavy cream for like cooking. So I can't use it, you know?
Ew. I have like almond milk. Do you have almond milk?
No, bro. I'm not a...
What?
Dude. Oh, geez.
Freak.
Listen, I live in Hollywood. Doesn't mean I'm Hollywood. All right? Okay?
So just no milk at all in your house?
No milk. We're a no milk house. You know?
That's very odd.
We're not a no cheese house though. This isn't
a dairy thing.
Yeah. All right, let's start.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. It's me?
I think so.
All right. Bros and Hoes, you're listening to Your Favorite Thing podcast with
Wells and Brandy.
All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep. They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh. And it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Boll & Branch is amazing.
Boll & Branch is loved by millions of sleepers, and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses. So if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at BollAndBranch.com.
That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch. Promo code favorite. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I need some cookie milk. Cookies.
Maybe you need to have some milk on hand just for cookies.
No, because it goes too quick. Like I need, here's what I need. I need a package deal that comes with soft baked cookies, a little carton of milk, you know? Mm-hmm. I need those to come together because I can't have milk just rotting in the fridge.
No, you
can't have it.
No, that sounds terrible.
And listen, none of us are qualified, but especially me, not qualified to tell you if milk is good or not anymore. You do the thing where you smell it and you're like, I don't know. This could be bad. I don't know. How bad does milk smell?
If there's a question that it could be bad, it's probably bad.
That's a thing. But it might not be. I don't know. My mom used to always do the thing where she'd pour it. She would get to the next step of like, we're putting this in a glass and then we're going to see what happens. She wouldn't even go to like the smell. She'd pour it. Then she would always say, well, if there's bubbles on top, that means it's good. And I just I thought that was...
That makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, all right, this is gospel, I guess, you know? That might not be true.
Yeah, it might not. But it's the best we've got to go on. So I'm going with that from now on.
Yeah, there's the date, which that's suspect. There's the smell test. And then there's the bubble test.
I like the bubble test.
Same thing with eggs. They're like, well, if the egg's floating or if it spins off its axis, and you're like, how do I know that? You know?
Yeah. Do you know that in other countries, they don't refrigerate eggs?
Yeah. Well, I think we have talked about this. If you have like a chicken coop and you're like getting your own chickens or whatever, getting your own eggs.
Eggs.
You don't need to put them in the refrigerator because it has a protective casing around it, which gets stripped off, I do believe, in like egg factories. Ooh. And that's why all like the eggs you get are white. Mm-hmm. But if you have like if you go to the farmer's market or something like that and you get chicken eggs, they're always like different colors. That's mm-hmm. that like protective casing around it.
Well, I always buy the brown eggs from the store.
Same.
So does that have the protective casing?
Don't know.
Because they're refrigerated too.
I know. I do the same thing. But the brown eggs are always better. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
There are a few things that you should pay top dollar for. And I'm going to go through them right here, right now.
Are we talking food?
And just life.
Oh, life. Got it.
Always pay top dollar for your toilet paper. All right? Always pay top dollar for your toilet paper. Come on. Your butthole deserves better than that, okay? Mm-hmm. And also hotels. If you are an upscale hotel and you're coming at me with fucking one-ply sandpaper for my balloon knot, never coming back. Right? Number two, always pay top dollar for camping equipment.
That seems very random, but okay.
You need it. Listen, it's going to be cold because if it's the most expensive, that means it's like the best and it's the lightest and you got to lug that shit in there and out of there. And you got to be warm. You need the best. All right.
Hands down. How often are you camping, would you say?
Never. But I'm just saying. Huh. This is just in my commencement speech at a university.
I see.
The other thing you should pay top dollar for, always, eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. Listen, guys, you got the dark, runny yolk. And you're only getting that from the brown eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting that from, like, the white, shitty eggs. You're not getting that light, yellow, not good. Okay? Do yourself a favor. Spend the $5 on the eggs, guys.
And make sure they're free range because, like, we want the chickens to at least have a good life.
Yeah. Even though you hate chickens.
I do, but I still want them to be able to have their freedom.
There. I do too. I want them to be different colors. You know, I don't want the white chickens freak me out. You know?
Like, what kind of, like, Aryan Nation situation happened over there?
I'm not sure.
I want some diversity. I can't trust this all white chicken class, you know? I guarantee you they don't have the same political ideologies that I do, Brandy, you know? I'm all for a melting pot society, and if all the chickens are the same color, then no thank you. What happened to the native chickens?
Good question.
You know, these are the questions that keep me up at night.
I can tell.
Actually, I'll give a ding for this. I got an app for my watch to track my sleep.
Oh, that's a thing?
Well, I had the Whoop, and I also had the Aura Band. They do all the same thing, and then I finally was just like, I've also got an Apple Watch. I've got too many things, monitoring things. Then I got this app called, what's it called? Sleepwatch. And so it's been monitoring for the past like week.
And you think the Apple Watch app is as good as the Whoop and the other thing?
It's all the same kind of stuff. They're all basically tracking how well you sleep.
I just don't think I can sleep with the watch on. I'm not good at sleeping with anything like any jewelry on.
Yeah. They're all measuring the same thing. But what I learned is, and this is much to Sarah's chagrin, is that average time takes me to fall asleep is 6 minutes.
Wow.
Because there's a little thing where you're like, when you're ready to go to bed, touch this little button. So I'd be like, all right, there we go. And then I am out like a light. And Sarah hates me for it. But
I'm like that too. I fall right asleep.
Dude, clean living. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't have any regrets.
Me neither.
I'm not up at night questioning my life decisions. Listen, I know what I'm doing with my camping equipment. I know what I'm doing with toilet paper. Uh-huh. And I know what I'm doing with my eggs.
Clean conscience, baby.
Yeah, baby. I'm out. I'm done. So we're recording this on a Sunday, so we haven't seen the Bachelor episode. So there is a world in which Sarah and I will watch this Bachelor episode and then record something
about it.
So we have something to say, I suppose.
That's good. Yeah.
But there's also a world in which we don't do that. And then you know what?
Sure.
Because this show isn't a Bachelor recap show. It never was. Mm-mm. And I don't think a lot of people are coming here for that, but that is content. So if we have time for that, we'll do that. But we're just going to do the normal show, which is a favorite things. And you have some favorite things, bro.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Wells, you have never been more right about anything in the history of me knowing you as you are about 1883.
Told you.
I love it so much. I'm going to make a very bold statement.
Okay.
I almost love this show as much as I loved Game of Thrones.
Wow.
It's like up there with Game of Thrones for me.
That is a bold statement.
I know. But so I obsessively watched the first three episodes.
Yeah.
And loved every minute of it. And then I was so upset there were no other episodes to watch that I was like Googling it. I was just so fascinated by it and saw that they had like a 30-minute, you know, behind the scenes, like making of the series where they interview Taylor Sheridan, who I'm obsessed with, who's kind of hot, actually. This is the first time I've ever seen him. He's hottie. And some of the cast, and you just kind of see a little bit of the behind the scenes, because when you're watching it, you're like, holy shit, like this is a huge production,
yeah.
You know? Like so many extras and so many horses and all those wagons, and they're clearly out in the middle of nowhere. Like it just seems like a very large production. And so whenever there's something like that, like I love watching them behind the scenes because I just love, I don't know, I love the idea of how many people it takes to make an episode of something or a movie. Like I just am fascinated by it. So if you love the show, highly recommend the behind the scenes. I have a question. I have looked her up on IMDb, so I kind of know the answer, but like, is Faith Hill an actress? Has she been in anything else? Like Tim McGraw, like, yeah, he's an actor. We've seen him in things, but like Faith, I was like, were you pursuing an acting career? Like how do you have a resume, or like you just got the gig because you did the cameo in Yellowstone and here you are?
Oh, she does a cameo in Yellowstone?
They both do.
Oh, there's
like a flashback scene in one episode of Yellowstone where they show like John Dutton's like great, great, great grandfather, or whatever he is. And it's Tim and Faith. And if you watch this behind the scenes making of 1883, Taylor Sheridan talks about it and they show it. And he's like, you know, I wanted to do this flashback scene of the Duttons. And I knew Tim and Faith were fans of the show. So he was like, I literally reached out and just asked them if they would do this cameo. And they said yes. And he was like, so then when I came up with this concept for this whole show based on this. He was like, it was obvious to me that it was Tim, you know? And yeah. then he was like, then it was obvious that it was Tim and Faith. And you know, you're not supposed to have a husband and wife work together on set, but oops, we did.
I'm looking at her IMDb right now and she hasn't done a whole lot. She has.
I know.
She's done 1883, Yellowstone, an episode, I think, of Dixieland.
Don't know what that is.
You know, I'm sure it's on the CW.
I mean, what a huge role in such a big production to be like your first real acting gig, you know?
I know. Well, and here's crazy. The thing. Tim's great. She's like, take it a little
bit. I mean, yeah, totally.
Well, I'm glad you like 1883, and I'm glad that finally something that I suggested you are into, even though it's really a Yellowstone thing. But yeah, Sam Elliott's great. And then...
so good. I love the younger girl. I mean, the blonde girl that's like narrates the whole thing.
Well, I'm glad you like that. We've caught more up on Yellowstone, and I can give you some more things that kind of annoy me, but I will say season two of Yellowstone, damn, that shit is good, man.
It's real good.
But listen, it's a gangster show. Okay. I'm getting a little annoyed with Beth being so horrible to Jamie. I'm just getting a little annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. So you don't understand why she's upset for a very long time. And then finally in season two, it's been revealed, and sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't gotten through season two, but I feel like I'm way late on this. So like, what are you doing with your life? And it finally is revealed as to why she hates him so much, because she had to go get something that rhymed with Schmishmortion, and he took her to like some, I don't know, terrible place where they performed a hysterectomy on her, and he didn't tell her that, and that's pretty fucked up. And I will agree with that. That's messed up. And I can see that could scar you forever. Now, here is my defense of Jamie. He was also a kid, too. They were both dumb kids, you know? If she can be forgiven for being a dumb kid wanting to get a shishmortion, then he should be forgiven for not really knowing what to do and, like, taking him to the wrong place. She's so vile to this guy. Like, she tells him to kill himself at some point. Like, straight up, it's like, you should do this. This is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible thing to have happened, but it's a little overkill for me. I don't know. Am I way off on that?
I mean, just keep watching.
Okay.
Jamie starts doing some fucked up shit.
Yeah, but he's kind of been pushed into some fucked up shit.
Possibly. But also, Beth's really been through the ringer too. I mean, she's literally like kind of the, not mean, this is... Not really, but kind of like the reason her mom died. Like, it wasn't her fault, but like, as a kid, I'm sure like you can't help but think that. And like, the way everyone treated her because of her mom dying, everything, like, she's been through some shit.
I know.
Not to excuse it, but just to say, like, she's so fucked up, you know?
The other thing that kind of annoys me is like the way that she acts. It's like she's trying to do like Marilyn Monroe, like, oh, hey. This is how I talk, but like, oh, kind of a badass Marilyn Monroe. She's starting to bug me. That's all I'm gonna say.
I love her.
Yeah, oh, that's fair. I mean, I love Rip.
And I love her and Rip so much.
Yeah, love Rip. I love Casey. Oh, and here's the other thing: Dan Jenkins, the guy that wants to build the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for that guy the entire time. I'm like, this guy he gets hung from a fucking tree just because he wants to build a hotel, you know? Then he gets killed by the other guy. Like, he can't catch a... This poor guy can't catch a break. I feel... And, like, he's always the bad guy in, like, the Marvel movies. So, like,
uh-huh.
I wanted to hate him. And then I was like, I feel so bad for Dan Jenkins. Like, what is going on here? The other thing, Lloyd, the old guy, slamming ass with, like, the 23-year-old barrel rider. Don't get it. Kind of love it. The show is just confusing, all right? There's just a lot of things happening.
Oh, man. How do you feel about, what is his name? The guy that plays the guitar all the time.
Okay, so do you know
who... they pulled from prison.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, so it's Ryan Bingham, who is...
Who that?
He's a phenomenal musician, of whom I own a lot of his records. I used to have him on Lightning 100 a lot.
Oh.
I mean, he is a real musician and singer, but he...
I mean, you can tell that watching it, I think.
He actually is from, like, either Arizona or New Mexico and was a bull rider. He was a cowboy and a bull rider, and then he would go, I think, to his uncle's... it's either his uncle's or his dad's bar, and he would play guitar at the bar, and that's like kind of how he was discovered. He was the one who wrote Weary Kind for the movie Crazy Heart, and I believe he won an Oscar for Best Original Song for that. I think I had him on my show years ago, and he was telling me the story of that was that T-Bone Burnett had the script and wanted to make the movie, and he wanted to make the movie with Jeff Bridges, but he didn't have the song. And then finally that song came out from Bingham, and then they were like, we've got the song, this works. And then they went ahead and made the movie, which Bingham is in Crazy Heart. So anyways, I love him. And so he's gone right now, but I have a feeling he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's not the best actor, but I think he's like maybe going to be one of the most compelling characters.
Yeah. My thing with him is like, he is just always kind of like a B story, you know? And I just keep waiting for them to like make his story more in the forefront of something. Like they, I don't know how far you are really, but they'll do that with Jimmy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they keep him around. So I'm like, all right, at some point I feel like he's got to step up and have like a bigger part in this story than what he's got. I don't know. I'm just like waiting for it.
Okay, that's enough on Yellowstone in 1883, but good shows.
Did you tell me, or did someone else tell me, that they're also doing a spinoff show about the Sixes? Was that you?
What's the Sixes?
Okay, well, you don't know, because that's why I was thinking it had to be somebody else. Once you get to this current season yeah. what just aired, the Sixes is another ranch in Texas that like they did. It's like a show horse thing that's connected to the Yellowstone. And someone just told me that they also have a show in production that's a spinoff that's just based on that ranch in Texas, which I'm excited about. So,
which, by the way, I was like watching the commercials on whatever it is, Paramount or Peacock or whatever it is. And so we're watching Yellowstone, and it's like, don't miss Country Land and like home on the Range and, you know, Whiskey Saloon. It's like all these fucking, like all these shows, Country Living and Tailgate Life. I was just like, have they just been like, you know what, Yellowstone work? We're going to fucking do just a ton of these shows and just hope it works.
Yeah, probably. Oh, man. It's the American dream.
I guess so. I've got some sci-fi shows that I think you'd be into.
Let's hear it.
So I'll start with the Korean show called Silent Sea. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's really good. So it's basically everyone from Squid Game.
Oh.
Here's a synopsis. During a perilous 24-hour mission on the moon, space explorers try to retrieve samples from an abandoned research facility steeped in classified secrets. Silent Sea. So, taking place in the future, we have no more water on Earth. Everyone's on water rations, and the world's kind of dying. Infant and child mortality is just, like, abysmal. So they send this crew up to the moon to go get something. You're not really sure what it is, and there's, like, kind of like a crash landing, and they're able to get onto the moon base, and some virus has spread through there and it's like killed everyone that was on the moon base. And there's been what you think are like pirates that have come to the moon and try to steal things from this moon base. You're not really sure what they're trying to get. It's all classified. So you're not sure if it's like a space monster or an alien or a virus. And you're not really sure why they're there and like what this virus is doing to people. And it's like kind of crazy, but like cool sci-fi, weird take on a dystopian future. And if you can deal with overdubbing, like if you enjoyed Squid Game, it's kind of the same thing. I would say it's not as good as Squid Game, but like, man, I don't know if we're ever going to get a show like that again. But Silent Sea on Netflix, very good.
Okay. I couldn't watch Squid Game.
Why not?
It was just too dark for me. It was too like Black Mirror-y.
I think you like this one then, because I know you like sci-fi stuff.
And I love space.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
I started a show. It's kind of an end of the world show.
Is it Station 11?
Station 11. Thank you. Have you seen it?
Yeah, we started it last night. But what's funny?
How many episodes?
I think I'm three in.
Okay, you are two in.
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched the first episode and was like, oh, I really like this show.
Yeah.
You know? And then episode two starts and I'm like, am I watching the same show?
Yeah. Well,
do you think it was super weird the way it just like kind of turned into a different show?
It's two different time periods.
Well, yeah.
And the little girl in the beginning of the show is the older girl, Mackenzie Davis, in later on.
Right.
So, yes, it's two different shows because it's kind of like two different time periods. But I will say this right off the bat. I don't know how long ago we have to go back. Maybe 2 years ago, one of my favorite books was a book called Station 11.
Oh.
And now that I'm watching it, I'm like, I read this book, which is about a pandemic that takes out the entire Earth and didn't even think about it in terms
That's
of
crazy.
Like that we are living in this right now.
I know, because it is obviously like in episode one, you're watching it and you're like, okay, they're like banking this off COVID or whatever is what it seems like. But now that we know it was a book first, the book came first, huh?
Yeah. And I remember reading it years ago before the pandemic.
That's crazy.
Here's the tag. A post-apocalyptic saga spanning multiple timelines, telling the stories of survivors of a devastating flu as they attempt to rebuild and reimagine the world anew while holding on to the best of what's been lost. Station 11. It's on HBO Max.
Oh, not Hulu, HBO.
Yeah. And
my bad.
So yeah, it starts out with, it's a production of Shakespeare during like regular times, and the guy that's playing the main character has a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that notices that he's having a heart attack that runs up there and tries to save his life ends up becoming friends with like this little girl who's an extra in the production of Shakespeare. And then he's like trying to get her home, is having a hard time doing it because the guy that died was one of like the only adults that like helped her get home, along with like, I think his assistant. So they're dealing with stuff. So this guy has to kind of like take care of this little girl all while the world is basically dying of this virus, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward into the future, the little girl's all grown up and she's a part of this traveling minstrel show where they put on like productions of Shakespeare and all that kind of stuff. It's a little Walking Dead-y where like the world is ended and you don't really trust anybody.
Yeah.
But without zombies, there's no zombies yet.
Right. Yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what throws me is the whole theater aspect of it. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Should I stick with it?
I don't know if I can tell you that. I remember I really liked the book.
Yeah.
I will say this. The actress, that Mackenzie Davis girl, she does a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, she does. I like her.
You know, she was in Terminator. She was in Black Mirror. She was in Blade Runner. She was in Tully. Like, she's done a lot of really good stuff. So, and then Himesh Patel, he's also really good and he's done a lot of really good stuff. So my mind is like, this has to be good. This cast is way too good.
Right. Okay. Maybe I'll stick with it.
I don't know. That was going to be my other one as well. I have just a quick bone to pick with the world. And maybe this is more of like a bone to pick with myself and like my inability to like just be a normal human being. Let's stop making white hoodies just across the board.
No, I like white hoodies.
I do too. They look so fresh.
So fresh.
The problem is that your boy spills on them immediately every single day. Every single day, I whip out a new, fresh, white hoodie. And it isn't 7 seconds into my coffee that I've got some coffee on that thing. You know? I can't do it. And I just look like an idiot. And I just look like a slut. If people really knew me and came over to my house, they would be like, Jesus Christ, you and Sarah are monsters. You are just filthy monster. I hate to bring Sarah into this, but we are. We just sit on the couch and just spill on each other or spill on ourselves. It's disgusting. Anyways, I am disgusting and I can't be trusted with white hoodies anymore. So stop buying them for me. Stop giving them to me and don't let me buy my own.
Okay. Well, I have a pro tip for you.
Okay.
I spill everything also. I'm a complete slob, but for some insane reason, whoever started equestrian sports decided that we should wear all white while doing the dirtiest thing possible, right? Yeah. Like with animal, like you're in mud and dirt with animals. And like, so I have to wear these white pants when I show. and my whole ass is stained brown from my brown saddle.
Oh, God.
Like, it makes no sense at all that we do this. So I have done so much research on how to get stuff out of white clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the key.
Bleach?
You mix OxiClean White Revive.
Yeah.
I prefer the powder. You mix that with this stuff called Out White Bright Laundry Whitener. And the way I found this Out stuff is because people use it on baseball pants when you like slide in that orange dirt and shit. If you mix those two things together, it literally will take anything out of white clothes.
What am I, a fucking chemist over here? I got beakers. I got beakers full of different ingredients. Yeah. I got to mix them together. I don't have time for that.
Yeah. And if you even want to give it an extra kick, you get the OxiClean Max 4 spray. And first you spray the stain and then you mix the two things into the laundry. I'm telling you, whitest whites you'll ever have.
I don't trust white clothes like I don't trust white chickens. All right? I need some diversity in my life. Thank you.
Oh.
I read a phenomenal book.
Listened to a phenomenal book?
I absorbed the information of a... Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. This is... listen, this angers me. When you read, what do you hear in your head? Do you hear your voice reading the story to you?
I think so.
Yeah. So what's the difference between you listening to your own voice doing it and listening to someone else do it?
I don't know the answer to that. I just like... when I'm listening to like a podcast or an audiobook, it literally, I can see it, the words going in one ear and out the other, and I have no idea what they said. Like, I am just not a good audio learner. Like, I'm a visual learner.
Okay.
I need to see it for my brain to process it.
Yeah. So I'm the opposite, because I'll go like three chapters and then be like, what the fuck did I just read? And I'll have to like go back to be like, what was that all about? But I can listen to a book, no problem. Like, I'm completely captivated. Anyways, yes, I listened to a phenomenal book. It's called An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green, okay? Uh-huh. I loved it so much. Here's kind of like a quick synopsis of this. Roaming through New York City at 3 a.m., 23-year-old April May stumbles across a giant sculpture. Delighted by its appearance and craftsmanship, like a 10-foot-tall transformer, April and her best friend Andy make a video with it, which Andy uploads to YouTube. They call the transformer Carl. The next day, April wakes up to a viral video and a new life. News quickly spreads that there are Carls in dozens of cities around the world, from Beijing to Buenos Aires. And April, as their first documentarian, finds herself at the center of an intense international media spotlight. Seizing the opportunity to make her mark on the world, April now has to deal with the consequences her new particular brand of fame has on her relationships, her safety, and her own identity. And all eyes are on April to figure out not just what the Carls are, but what they want from us. An absolutely remarkable thing. So, the Carls are aliens. Mm-hmm. I'm not ruining this for you, but that wasn't kind of explained in that. You figure out pretty soon that they are aliens. They start leaving clues as to like what they want from us, what they need from us. And the other thing that they do is they kind of infiltrate the human race's subconscious, where you, when you go to dream, you go to this city where you can like solve these puzzles and stuff. It's kind of like Ready Player One, but instead mm-hmm. of like logging into a VR thing, you just go to sleep. And, you know, humanity thinks that like you have to figure out all the little puzzles in the dream world before like they reveal themselves or whatnot. And so it's like part Ready Player One, part like First Contact. And then the other thing that's really interesting is part like dealing with fame, because this girl, April, becomes YouTube famous because she's the first one who discovers one. And she has a kind of like a closer relationship with the Carls than anybody else. It's phenomenal. It's definitely going to be a television show or a movie, I think. I've already bought the second book. And I was on TikTok today and I follow this really funny guy named Hank Green, who is very smart.
kind of explains science to people. So people like ask questions on TikTok and he's like, all right, let me explain it to you. This is why the sky is blue. And then he'll like go into like this whole rant of it and like explain the science. And I love him. And he's funny and interesting and like really good at this. And today I'm watching Hank Green do his thing. And he starts talking about the book he just wrote. And he throws up the book. An absolutely remarkable thing. I'm like, holy shit, you wrote this? This is amazing. I had no idea. I follow you on TikTok because I think you're interesting. But now knowing that you're the one who wrote this book, I love it even more. So now I bought the sequel. Can't wait to read that. Anyways, an absolutely remarkable thing. It's an absolutely remarkable book. Go read it. Definitely going to be a television show. I actually gave it to Sarah and I was like, you need to go sell this somehow. Make this into your own show. It's so good. Great book. Love it.
What's the guy's name on TikTok?
Hank Green.
And that's like his author name? Like that's the name on the book?
Yeah.
And you just didn't put two and two together?
No, because one, I don't like look at everyone's screen name. You know, a lot of times they're just like weird screen names. And also, like, I just thought he was like a smart scientist. I didn't know he was a novelist, you know?
Right. Okay, that's cool.
But I definitely did comment on that video where he's talking about the book being like, I just finished this book and I loved it. I follow you, did not know that you wrote this book. So anyways, really good sci-fi thing. And Brandy, I know you'll love it because one, you love sci-fi. But also, like, the deconstruction of what fame does to people is something that you actually can relate to, especially in this, like, weird world of, like, viral sensations and, like, levels of celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Because she goes up the rungs of, like, Insta-famous to, like,
right.
Barack Obama Kardashian-level fame. You know, like, she and so that part's really interesting, too. So, anyways, love the book.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Check it out. And then I'm going to read the next one. I just downloaded it.
How many are there?
I think, I didn't even know there was two. And then I saw him doing this Instagram thing or this TikTok thing. And I was like, oh, there's another one. I'm going to go read it. So the next one's called Beautifully Foolish Endeavor.
They're sequels to each other. They're not different, completely different stories.
Yes. I believe that this is like the second book in the Carl story.
I see. Got it. You know, I love a trilogy.
Oh, I know.
The world loves a trilogy.
Who doesn't?
Have you seen that there is I wouldn't call it a documentary because I think it's a scripted limited series, but they're doing a show based on Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Yeah, of course. And Seth Rogen is in it.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be so good. It didn't ever say when it comes out though. Do you know?
I don't know when it's going to come out, but I'm excited for it. It looks good.
I need to figure it out. That looks amazing. Have you seen the Beanie Baby documentary?
No.
Oh my God, Wells, it is my childhood.
Yeah.
Like everything about it is fascinating. Did you collect Beanie Babies?
No.
Oh my God, I literally had them all. And it's funny, my grandmother, we call her Mammy. She was the one that like got them for me. It was for me and Trace. For some reason, Trace and I guess everybody else was too young. Trace and I were obsessed with Beanie Babies. And my grandmother was equally obsessed because she was the one that bought them all for us and collected them. You know, we collected them. But it's hilarious to watch this documentary because it's so crazy. It's so crazy, like the timing of it, that Beanie Babies and the frenzy of it were at the same time that like the internet became a thing and AOL and people were grasping like how powerful the internet is, right? At the same time this Beanie Baby thing was happening.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because it's all a bunch of moms that were obsessed with the Beanie Babies, not the kids.
Really?
You know? Yeah, it's really funny. Like it shows like the kids start out like, of course, kids like stuffed animals and stuff. So they're like, yeah, but it's the moms who were psycho about collecting them and beating the other moms and getting the ones the other moms couldn't get and all this stuff. And it became this like kind of competition between moms of like who could get their kids the most Beanie Babies and who could get like the limited edition ones and all this crazy stuff. So if you like documentaries, I think it's pretty fascinating. And it's just crazy. If you grew up, I mean, I was born in 87. So if you grew up, you know, in the early 90s and were part of the whole AOL generation and like the internet first becoming a thing and all that. It's just insane.
Did you have the Princess Di Beanie Baby?
I sure did.
Oh, wow. I wonder how much that's worth now. Nothing, probably?
Nothing. Yeah. That's the crazy thing about it is like, and it just proves the value in something is what people make it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, who decides what has value? It's like sneakers, for instance. It's so fascinating to me that sneaker culture is such a thing and that these sneakers that you buy for $160, you know, on the Nike website resale for thousands of dollars. Like, that's just so crazy to me. Like, they're made in China, you know, but it's the demand. Like, they're so smart. They only make so many, and it's the demand. And because this sneaker culture has decided these shoes have this value and people buy them, like, that's what gives something value. I don't know. It's just all fascinating to me.
Yeah. It's like NFTs. I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know if I want to know. Someone gave me an NFT as a Christmas gift.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's like the modern day way of giving someone, like, I got you, I made a donation in your name to some fund. And you're like, no, you didn't. You didn't do it. Like, I don't know what this, I don't know what this is. This is nothing, I don't think. And I think it's all a scam. I saw something where people were selling an NFT to themselves, saying that that NFT was worth $2 million. So they bought it from themselves for $2 million and then said that the NFT is now worth $2 million and then sold it for, I don't know, $1 million, where the person thought, wow, I'm getting such a great deal. I'm getting half off last time this thing was bought. And then they've made $1 million. And then, of course, they just bought it for themselves. So they didn't lose any money. And it's all a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a scam these days. Blockchain, Ethereum, Bitcoin, NFTs. Someone tell me what to do with my money. I'm confused. I'm starting to feel like, you know, when you see those commercials, it's like old people have been like, you should invest in gold. Everyone knows gold is the safest. I feel like that's where I am now. You know?
No, because who decided gold has a certain value? Like, it's all the same thing. Like, nothing has value until the masses say it has value. It's like the Beanie Babies. Like, who decided these stupid beanbag things could be, you know, worth so much money? But they were at the time. It's just crazy.
No.
It's wild to me.
The world's a crazy place.
Crazy place.
Update on Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox's weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
This was an actual quote that Machine Gun Kelly posted. It said, she said, how do you feel? And I said, I'm lost. And she said, let's find you. Oh, trying to be so artistic. Dude, come on. If your guys' conversations are really like that, please invite me to a dinner party, because I will not stop laughing. I'm going to take 4 edibles, and I'm going to just not be able to stop dying laughing at the things you say to each other, because no one talks like that unless you're in a Nicholas Sparks novel, which I think that these people think that they're in. I think that they think that.
Or do they just say these things on public platforms for the reaction?
I guess. And you know what? Here's the thing. They're right, because I'm talking about it. And like, yeah, maybe that's like your shtick. Like, I guess on my social media, like me being funny in captions is like, well, that I think works. And to them, they're like, well, if we're like super deep and like people think that like we're, you know, like tapped into the cerebellum of love, you know, then the people are going to be into it. I don't know. But also, no one talks like that. No one talks like that. Do you talk like that?
Obviously not.
Do you know anyone that talks like that?
No.
No.
And if they do, they're on drugs.
They're probably, yes. They're probably the ones buying NFTs.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they. You know that they're NFT blockchain. I don't even know. I think that's the thing. They
no,
know.
No clue.
They are diverse. Couldn't tell you. They are diversified in blockchain. They have sold all of them gold. Someone else. The other thing that I saw that I just thought was amazing. So did we ever talk about the Island Boys?
I don't think so.
Did you ever see what the Island Boys were?
No.
Oh, my God. Randy,
what is that?
They're like these two kids from, I guess, the islands. I don't know. They have like crazy hair.
Is this a TikTok
hair.
Thing?
Yes. And they have this classic song that was like, with the Island Boys, because with the Island Boys. And they're like terrible singers, and they're like all tatted up with like crazy grills and stuff. And everyone kind of made fun of them for a couple weeks. It's like, look at these kids. But they made, I'm sure, a ton of money off of TikTok and all this stuff. So anyways, they're on Cameo now. Okay.
Oh.
And this is why your boy don't know Cameo. Because you don't know who you're making these videos for. So this guy did this to the Island Boys. And it's just, I mean, it's not funny, but it's really funny.
All right, so it's been a hot minute since I got celebrities to shout out like Ivan Milat and Rolf Harris. So I thought I'd give it another go. In the news lately, Ghislaine Maxwell, the one who helped Jeffrey Epstein on his island with all the massages and that, who is more fitting to shout him out, shout her out, than the Island Boys, viral stars? Let's see if they do it.
Hi, Ghislaine Maxwell. Jeffrey wants to thank you for all your help on the island.
Please keep it quiet.
Jeff is still getting massages up there.
Heavenly.
Jeff wants you to know that he's hanging in there.
Jeff is an island boy. Oh, Jeff is an island boy. Oh, Jeff is up there in the island. I mean, letting you know he's getting massages right now. He's chilling. He's really still vibing, y'all.
Oh, my God. So, has this gone viral? Is that how you know about this?
I don't know. I showed up my TikTok. It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so not funny, but it is funny because they're the Island Boys and because Jeffrey Epstein had this sex island. Mm-hmm. It just works. They don't have the wherewithal to, like, realize what they're talking about. It's just chef's kiss. But, like, it's just so good. That's why I don't do cameos, though, you know?
It's true. This is sketch.
Sketch.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. You got any musics?
We don't do this anymore, so we don't get sued.
I don't know. Who's going to sue us?
People.
The people will?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
I think.
All right. Well, I wanted to play something. Can I play something? Well,
you could just talk about it.
Yeah, but I like to play something to, like, go out on and stuff, you know?
I know.
Do you want me to do erotic?
Fuck you very much.
Or an erotic grandpa?
You know how I feel about the erotic grandpas. I would much prefer a fuck you very much.
Okay.
We did say we were reviving it.
Yeah. Let's see if we got some good fuck you very muches recently. All right. Here's one subject line. Fuck you, Wells. 5 stars.
Oh.
From Ahoy. Erotic grandpa needs to stay in 2021. He gives me the creeps. That's it. That's the review. P.S. I love your podcast. Well, fuck you, man. I like it. But fine.
That's a good one. Loved it.
Here's one subject line. Do not bring back erotic grandpa. Okay, fine. We get it, guys. Yeah. Okay.
I love the YFTers.
Fine. Oh, here's one subject line. Why can't you guys say F ... from Ding 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 2019, 5 stars. Love the podcast, but I get really annoyed when you guys do not finish your words. You guys talk like you're 10 years old. Please stop talking like you are texting. Fuck you very much. Happy face. I don't understand. Do we sometimes stop talking?
I don't think so.
I don't understand that either.
I mean, maybe they're confusing not finishing my words with my Southern accent, which I do think in my old age is getting very bad. Sometimes I hear myself talk and I'm like, who am I? I'm Tish Cyrus. That's who.
Yeah, you are.
Scary.
All right. Send some more fuck you very muches, guys. We get it. We won't do erotic. We won't do erotic grandpa, even though erotic grandpa was great. And I found some really funny excerpts. I went and did research, and it bums me out that I can't read them now, but fine, I won't.
Can erotic grandpa just, like, read something else instead of erotica? Or
no, because
like,
it's only
it?
Funny because you think of your grandpa doing it. It's weird and funny and arousing.
Oh, I don't think it's that.
All right, send us some more fuck you very much. So we need some more because those were kind of nice. Do you have anything going on this week?
So I am getting in the car at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Fun.
And driving to Florida, where I'll be horse showing for the next 2 weeks. I'm very excited. It's like, I mean, I do go on vacations, I guess, here and there. But like, it's like, this is like my version of a vacation is getting to a horse show for 2 weeks. So I'm going to go do that while things are slow. And I'm very excited to get the fuck out of Nashville. Excuse my French. It snowed for like 3 days. The farm just goes to shit when it snows. I can't get down the driveway. It's a whole thing. And then I finally all the snow melted and it's just been pouring rain all day today. I'm so over it. Get me to Florida. Can't wait.
All right.
That's what I'm doing.
Cool. That's cool.
Aren't you going to do your golf thing soon?
I leave next week. So
cute.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. All right. Well, is that everything?
I think so.
All right. All right, YFTers. We love you so much.
This song is, well, can you call it a song?
just staring at the sun. I don't know what it is, but I love it. They're like, you want to be famous? I'm trying to be out the greatest. I'm yep. a Florida boy. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Be good.
Like, love y'all.
Goodbye, everybody. Because I will never be on the show again.
R.I.P. Erotic Grandpa.
I'm an island boy. I've been trying to make it. I ain't seen it with a gang, gang slang. You ain't just slang, no kind.
This is ridiculous.
Because we try home like a lion.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.